relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, everybody. I got some bad news. It got me. I got a nice little going home gift from Disney on my honeymoon, as you could hear it. We had a little feeling on Monday. I felt a little bit off. Yesterday, we did the watch party. And, my wife tested positive for COVID this morning. I tested myself this morning again. It was negative about an hour ago. I tested myself because I started getting a fever. And, yours truly has COVID. So, yeah, Disney had lots of cooties. You know, look, I still had a great time. We'll get through this. But I will tell you that tonight's show is going to be very, very short. We're getting right to the meat and potatoes tonight. We had some new champions crowned tonight. We made some predictions. We got some correct. We got some incorrect. Now, obviously, the biggest news coming out of AEW Dynamite. No, not that Saraya has officially signed. Yes, that is a big deal. Let me tell you something. Saraya, the former Paige, inking a deal with AEW is awesome. It's very cool to see that. Will she actually wrestle? We'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll also get into how she was introduced to the AEW. What do they call it? The Galaxy? They called it the Galaxy. No, not DJ Woo Kid and Fabulous and Trina. You know, this was funny tonight. I have to admit it. You know, when Diamante told Jade Cargill that she's bringing backup on Friday, you know, and she introduced Trina. Now, Trina, I have heard of before. She is a legendary rapper. But, you know, I'm looking at all of these cameos that have shown up. And, you know, my question to all of you, seriously, look, I don't mind seeing Fabulous come out, make a cameo. I don't care, you know, other than maybe Shaq or Action Bronson. I mean, even Mike Tyson at that time was yawning up a storm. Yeah, he smokes. He takes the CBD. But do you get the feeling that any of these rappers really enjoy AEW wrestling? Or does it feel like maybe they're on Cameo and maybe Tony Khan sent them a message and say, hey, you know, would you like to make an appearance? I'll give you $10,000. That's how it comes off to me. I mean, sure, celebrities always want to get a little extra exposure, but I don't get this vibe. Like, I don't think anybody in the hip-hop community is going to tune in more or get more exposure. Yeah, you'll get some social media presence out of it, but I don't get the vibe that any of these people really give a shit about AEW. And at the end of the day, you as a wrestling fan, do you care that these people are out there? It's just interesting to see, you know, the demo that Tony Khan keeps reintroducing as special guests. Action Bronson, I have no problem with, because that guy is a wrestling fan and he is very vocal about it. He enjoys this shit, but a lot of these others, they have no track record really of anything with wrestling. So where's Abaddon? She's probably with Cole Carter and probably with Ruby Soho and a few others. Look, let's get right into it because I don't know how long this show's going to go. We have a new AEW world champion. Yes, Jon Moxley wins the championship. Very hard fought battle against Bryan Danielson. I got to be honest with all of you. I had this shit ready to go. You know, I use the play on words because Bryan Danielson, as Daniel Bryan, is a Grand Slam champion. You look at all the titles that he has had in WWE, he is a legit Grand Slam champion. And since this is AEW Dynamite Grand Slam, you know, Bryan Danielson being a Grand Slam champion, you know, I'll be honest with you. I have said for the last week or so, maybe even longer than that, that Bryan Danielson needs to hold that championship. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love MJF. MJF, to me, is a hybrid of Roddy Piper. He was in full Piper mode tonight. I mean, even the insults. And listen, William Regal knew that was coming. William Regal is fine with it because he knows that the more realistic it gets, you know, the better it is. Remember, reality is what really strikes the nerves of wrestling fans, good and bad, as far as emotions go. A lot of people do shows based on that formula, and they do it well. But I personally think, you know, Jon Moxley being crowned AEW World Champion, leading to Moxley versus MJF, which you know is coming, you could see the clear and concise path and the aura and the attitude and the appearance that Tony Khan wants about AEW. Listen, you know I brought this up many times before, but with Tony Khan, if you take all of his interviews over the last 12 months, get a transcript and read them in order, you'll think that either this guy is on medication or he's got a very, very bad personality disorder. Because when the numbers are kind of low and maybe AEW's got a little bit of negative news, not momentum, ratings are down, you know, not, you know, then it's like, oh, you know, I'd do Forbidden Door. I'd work with WWE. I'd do this, this and that. And then when the numbers spike, you know, you get asshole Tony Khan. And I'm not saying that Jon Moxley is an asshole, but you think CM Punk, remember this is so important, that a lot of shows will not bring up to you because they had an agenda the whole time. MJF walked out on that company. Tony Khan never stood up publicly for that company. Willie Uta, in his promo tonight, did more to defend AEW for what MJF did than even the own owner. Because the owner is sitting back at the mercy. I think he loves this. I think when CM Punk said what he said, you know, you look at Tony Khan and he's nodding his head like this and, you know, didn't try to stop it, didn't try to change the subject, didn't get served, never made a statement. To this day, Tony Khan has never made a statement saying that what MJF did was inexcusable. Not only did he walk out on AEW, he walked out on the wrestlers, he walked out on the fans, he walked out on everything that we've been building for the last 3 years. Never said a word about it. But because MJF is back, all is forgiven. We told you that 6 months ago. Now CM Punk, media scrum, does what he does, confronts the wannabe journalists, confronts the biased media, and now no statement, nothing. Nothing. Not trying to set the standard, send a message to your roster. This is not excusable. This is not tolerated. You know, he just sits back and does nothing. And I think Tony Khan is a reflection of what you see. So in my opinion, Bryan Danielson, right now, was the perfect choice as heavyweight champion. I'm starting to wonder if Bryan Danielson is following the Cody path, as far as, you know, I don't want AEW heavyweight lineage, you know, under my belt. Because we always were confused. Why did Cody strap himself so early on, I can't fight for the heavyweight title? You know, like, it almost feels now that maybe Bryan Danielson does not want to be AEW world champion. You know, I don't know. Will Bryan Danielson be in AEW 2 years from now, contract or no contract? Maybe something is worth. I'm starting to get that aura because right now, with Bryan Danielson, no controversy, beloved, most popular, well-respected, obviously has the connection with the fans. You take away all the controversy. Now you have Moxley as the champion. Vulgarity, blood, violence, tables. You add that with MJF. it is a totally different climate. So I'm not complaining. I want to make this clear. I have said many times, John Moxley is the MVP of AEW for 2022. Even if he would have lost the match tonight, he's still the MVP of 2022. But right now, with the EVPs and the fights and the scrum and Tony Khan not stepping up, and I might as well throw this out there now so we can get it out of the way. Tony Khan was on News 12 here in New York, hyping up AEW. Now, obviously, they're in New York today. Did a great turnout. By the way, loved the lighting. I love the little subtle tweaks that they did tonight. I mean, that's more because of the building. I hope AEW keeps that going outside of Arthur Ashe Stadium. But, you know, he's promoting the show in New York. And look, I live in New York. I live 10 minutes away from where they were today. So, yes, I am very proud of New York wrestling fans. Absolutely. I think New York wrestling fans are the best, next to Philly and Chicago. And then you go down the list. But in trying to put over AEW, he makes this remark.
We're running a lot of great shows around the Northeast. It's so many great wrestling markets in one geographic region. And the crown jewel of wrestling markets, the real crown jewel of wrestling markets, not some BS overseas in Saudi Arabia. The real crown jewel of wrestling markets, New York City.
The fuck is wrong with you? Seriously, the fuck is wrong with you? I mean, you're a grown adult, so of course, your dad, it would look stupid for your dad to call you up. The fuck is wrong with this guy? I mean, I understand you want to put over New York. Yes, New York is. The Northeast wrestling scene is awesome. But you don't have to give a fuck you to Saudi Arabia and their fans. The deal, you know, that's jealousy. That's jealous. That's a $100 million deal that WWE has. This guy would fucking, like MJF said tonight, that most of the people in the crowd would drink MJF spit if they had the opportunity to do so. Tony Khan wants things like that, and he doesn't have it. Because he doesn't have it, he has to, you know, put the competition down. It's just stupid. Very stupid. How you feel about the Saudi Arabia deal with WWE is one thing. But that's just not necessary. Put over your product. What do we always say? Have people tune in because you're good, not because something else is BS. And I think Moxley is a reflection of the attitude that Tony Khan wants with AEW. Did you notice tonight Jade Cargill got censored by the network when she said, cut the shit to Tony Schiavone? You heard, cut the You heard crowd noise. You notice outside of Britt Baker with a busted up nose again, you know, not as much as far as blood goes, not as much as far as weapons go. It's interesting to see if there's been any discussions as far as changes. I mean, they censored Jade Cargill. I know that doesn't sound like a big deal, but that's interesting that they did that. By the way, I'm drinking Theraflu, and let me tell you something. This shit works great, but you know what pisses me off about it? You have to open it up with a pair of scissors. It literally shows a scissors symbol on the thing. There's no tear strip. So right before we went live, I'm like, where's my fucking scissors? Where's a knife? So forgive me for how I sound. I feel fucking awful. So we'll do the show and we'll get out of here as quickly as possible. So Moxley is now your champion once again. MJF in the boondocks. That was fine. But when you saw how far away he was, you know that there was no chance of him teasing a cash-in. So we weren't getting that tonight. But, you know, I still feel, in my opinion, Bryan Danielson would have been the better choice right now to put the heavyweight title on. Now I'm starting to wonder if Bryan Danielson, I know that sounds crazy, but wasn't so crazy when you think about Cody. I wonder if Bryan Danielson even wants the AEW World Championship. All right. So, you know, somebody sent me this tonight. I thought it was pretty funny. You know, with Paige Saraya now signed with AEW, all AEW has to do now is get Renee, sign Renee to a deal, and maybe they could call themselves like Team Fox. Think about it. That's that TV show from Fox. Everybody in this picture, with the exception of Renee, is signed with AEW. So all Tony Khan has to do is grab Renee. There's your new faction, everyone. There's your new faction. So, by the way, I thought Soraya looked great. Yes, we saw her at a convention 2 weeks ago. It's not like we haven't seen her in a while. But what I liked about tonight was she looked legitimately happy. She felt happy to be back inside that ring. And, you know, Taz made a little remark that, you know, big boost to the AEW women's roster. That's calculated, because that kind of says to me, she may wrestle again and soon. Now, the thing is, and let's keep this in perspective, everybody. You look at Ruby, you look at Athena, you look at others. AEW doesn't have a great track record of featuring anybody that's not named Jade on a semi-regular basis on TV. You may see someone featured in a promo 2 or 3 weeks out of a month, you know, backstage skit that's recorded earlier today. But, you know, what happens a couple of months from now? You know, the only reason why Toni Storm is in this position right now is because of Thunder Rosa's injury. If Thunder Rosa was not injured and was still women's champion, what do you think Toni Storm, where would she be right now with this? Remember, they feuded at Forbidden Door. They've had matches already. They were not going to continue Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm. So Toni Storm is basically filling in for Thunder Rosa right now. But outside of that, you know, what happens 3 months from now? Plus, you know, you got to think about this too. What kind of contract did Soraya sign with AEW? Maybe it's for a very, very limited number of dates. You know, I would love to see her back in the ring. Why not? If she can go and she's cleared, why not? But I'm a little concerned when you see the track record of AEW with women's wrestling. I mean, the first year, okay, you're trying to feel yourself out. The second year, all right, you know, whatever. But now you're beyond the third year. And, you know, people try to like, oh, this is the third week in a row that the women's match was on hour two. The fuck does that mean? Placement? How's about more? You know, and we don't get that. So I am very happy that she is back in wrestling. Let's take a wait and see approach to see what she actually will do. You know, this might feel like a Bret Hart WCW situation. You know, Bret Hart signed, and then he didn't do anything for a while. And then he was like a special referee enforcer, you know, and then he eased himself in the ring. Soraya may not hit the ring for months. So let's take a wait-and-see approach. She looks good. She looks happy. If she's cleared, that's a win. That's a win. So I'm very, very happy. That was a good grab by AEW. But I will say one thing in closing with this. If Soraya is not going to really be able to wrestle as much as people anticipate, I hope they make that clear early on. I hope what her future actually is, excuse me, in AEW is, you know, pretty much explained. You don't have to get into every little detail, but we should know clearly what her role is going to be. I personally think she is going to wrestle again. I really do. And like I said, if there was no chance, no shot, I don't think Taz would make a comment like he did today. So, all right, let's get into the results from tonight. We had new Ring of Honor champion. Yes, this happened earlier today. Chris Jericho beating Claudio. Seeing Claudio give him 17 swings was pretty fucking awesome. You know, it's funny with the fans in attendance. They don't know how to count. If you noticed, once they got halfway, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4. Before you know it, 63. You know, when we did predictions on Monday, I said in passing, I said, you know, that would be pretty funny with Ring of Honor's lineage to have a sports entertainer as the heavyweight champion. Didn't think they were actually going to go and do that. But that's good. Now, look, it is a dead promotion. It is. But, you know, now they're trying to spice it up a little bit. You know, Daniel Garcia is not too thrilled that a sports entertainer is now the world champion. This could lead to Jericho giving more of a rub to Daniel Garcia and the younger guys. So even though Ring of Honor is not doing house shows, it's not back. They're using the titles on TV. It's the matches that we care about more than anything. And Jericho and Claudio was great today. Crowd loved it. Great opener. Listen to that pop when Jericho won. And you know what? Props to Jericho. Ocho. That's his eighth world championship. Even though it's a dead promotion still at the moment, or hiatus if you want to be a little more gentle with it, but Jericho puts value into it, puts a little respect into it, and that's a good thing. So Jericho winning, it's going to be really interesting to see where they go from here. But Jericho is your new Ring of Honor world champion. We had another title change tonight. And I think for the most of you out there, this might have been our favorite one of the night. They did pull the trigger. The Acclaimed are now your new AEW World Tag Team Champions. They have earned it. They have earned it. Are they the best tag team in AEW? No. We even said on Monday that they'll probably now feud with FTR. Go check out Monday's show. And they teased that tonight. As soon as the Acclaim won, FTR does an interview. Now, to distract it, you had the Ass Boys show up and interrupt FTR's promo so we could get 2 weeks, you know, wasted. FTR will take on the Ass Boys and beat them, and in 2 or 3 weeks will go by, and the Acclaim will have their run, and then they'll have to start taking it a little seriously. But VJ is asking, will I get a Scissor Me shirt? I might. I support the Acclaimed. I don't even need to explain that. You hear it on the shows all the time here. They have earned it, and this was the right move. And the interesting thing is, would this move have happened if you still had? Now, let's also be clear. Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, you know, they're not just sitting at home with their families doing nothing. They're still doing some things. But, you know, I like that Tony Khan is going more with the organic. You could feel it. You know when something is organic. You know when it's the right time. In fact, I'll be honest with you. Of all of the title changes that have taken place in AEW in 3 years, this has got to be in my top five. As far as the ones that it just felt the right way to go. Now, I will say this. The match should have either ended 5 minutes early, or they should have waited to do the boombox spot until the end. That crowd lost their shit when Swerve inadvertently hit Keith Lee with the boombox. Didn't look that good on TV. Maybe that's why they decided to go long. I have no idea. I think the Famouser by Billy Gunn was intended, you know, to happen no matter what during this match tonight, the Famouser he did outside the ring to Swerve Strickland. But, you know, this is ultimately going to lead to the split with Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. I think we've seen that a mile away. But if you go back and you watch that match, once that boombox spot happened, I thought the match was off. If you look at some of the double teaming that Swerve and All Glory was doing, it just felt a little bit of a hot mess. I know Max Caster's selling, you know, a knee injury or leg injury during part of that. But if they would have finished with the boombox spot finisher pin, I think that it would have been perfect. In fact, I will almost bet the ranch that tomorrow, all of the shows that do, like Busted Open and others, I bet you they bring that up, that it should have ended right at that point with the boombox. But still a fun match, and they made the right call. And props to the Acclaimed, and they're now your new AEW World Tag Team Champions. Pac retaining the All-Atlantic Championship against Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy has had probably about 8-9 title matches now in his AEW career, and he's lost every match. I'll tell you what I didn't like about this match. I didn't like a tweet that was posted after the match was over, because this is the seed, even though you may not realize it, this is the seed being planted that the Trios titles will be taken off of Pac and the Lucha Bros sooner than you realize. And Pac will eventually split away from the Lucha Bros. I'll tell you why. We had your typical Orange Cassidy match. You've seen one. Let's be honest, you've seen them all. And towards the end of the match, they're outside the ring. The referee doesn't see it. In fact, we had a lot of, I don't want to say swerve finishes, but, you know, Jericho, you know, low blow to Claudio. He went for the bat. Aubrey Edwards wasn't looking. And Jericho with the low blow. Then he hits the Judas effect, gets the win. If you go to the Acclaimed, you saw a famous interference. They get the win. Pac in his match, there is the hammer for the ring bell, and he hits Orange Cassidy with the hammer. Now, think of the Lucha Bros. Think of all of the double team moves that they do. Think of all the table spots that they do. Think of all the times they use chairs. Think of all the times they do all their antics. And I'm not ripping it. I love it. So Pac uses a hammer. Big fucking deal, right? Alex Abrahantes posted this right after the match. Quote, I'm not sure what to say right now after what we just saw. Now all of a sudden, Pac has to be an altar boy? That because he used a hammer, Alex Abrahantes is befuddled, dismayed, angered, disappointed, upset? Guys, gals, that's the beginning of the end of those Trios titles on those guys. They are now going to try to push that seed that Pac is only out for himself. And by the way, where's the Redeemer? The Redeemer! Where is he? We will talk about the participants in the Battle Royal for Friday, because we found out who they are today. And man, it looks like it sucks. With the exception of Hangman Page and Lance Archer. To be honest with you, I expected many more people to be in this match. Maybe there will be. But Abrahantes posting this tweet, you would have thought that Pac crucified Orange Cassidy. You would have thought he would have taken his oranges and turned it into juice. You would have thought that he just totally fucked him up. Yeah, you tweet that after what MJF did to Tony Schiavone. And W. Morrissey now suddenly is helping MJF out of nowhere for no apparent reason. But telling you, that tweet is more important than you realize. Tony Storm retaining the interim championship. We all knew that that was happening. We thought Jamie Hayter was going to ultimately split with Britt Baker. That did not happen. We had a nice showcase by Athena, showing her power, you know, power slamming, excuse me, COVID. Serena Deeb and Britt Baker at the same time. In fact, I think Britt Baker may have fallen face first. Her nose is busted open again. But the match ends with Tony Storm with a fruit roll-up to Britt Baker. After the match is over, Britt Baker starts attacking Tony Storm. Jamie Hayter runs to the ring. Everybody thinks she's coming to the save of Tony Storm, but no. She yells out, "This is my best friend," meaning Britt Baker, and she starts beating the crap out of Tony Storm. They beat up Athena a little bit. Serena Deeb, I guess, seems to be helping them. Is this going to lead to a six-woman tag match? Saraya, Athena, and Tony Storm versus Serena Deeb, Jamie Hayter. Maybe not Britt Baker if she's got the broken nose again. But here, and then the music hits. We don't know who it is. But you saw the intro. I think some people out there immediately thought that it was going to be Paige. And she comes out, as I showed you before. She just hits the ring, doesn't get physical. You know, the heels back out of the ring. And she is signed with AEW. So kudos that they got that signing. But Tony Storm retains. And as we said earlier, Bryan Danielson loses to Jon Moxley. They set up a little bit of a leg issue with Bryan Danielson last week and Jon Moxley capitalizing on it. William Regal on commentary, you know, really split down the middle. And right after the match is over, he's in that ring trying to keep the peace. You know, there's footage online of Danielson holding Moxley's hand up in the air afterwards. And MJF all the way in the boondocks in the skybox. And so you know there was no tease of a cash-in tonight. Because a lot of people thought that we might actually see a cash-in. But excellent episode of Dynamite. And as I said on Monday, last Wednesday's rating, 1,175,000 they should be getting already. But how they maintain their audience, that was spectacular. And I have a feeling we're going to get that similar effect tonight. You might see a little dip with the women's match, but I don't think it's going to be as much of a dip as you think. And last week's was not that much of a dip. It looked like it, but it really wasn't. So, Mike, Raw dropped because we had two NFL games going at the same time. So that happens every year. It's not a big deal. So Rampage on Friday is a two-hour show. If you're going to be part of the watch party, I expect to feel a lot better in 48 hours, but the watch party will be going. So it's from 10 p.m. to midnight, and we went over the matches on Monday. But I will tell you that Hobbs and Starks now is a lights-out match, and we got the participants for the Battle Royal. The Golden Ticket Battle Royal. The winner earns a title shot, probably next week or the week after's Dynamite. The participants in this Battle Royal, Evil Uno, Ten, Jay Lethal, Roosh, Lance Archer, Penta, Hangman Page, Alex Reynolds, John Silver. Very, very lackluster if you say, you know, if I say so. I think you got to give it to Hangman Page. I think Hangman Page versus Moxley would be a fun Dynamite main event. You're not doing nothing else. But why isn't Andrade in this? Why is there so few people in this? I hope they add more people. But that was pretty awful. So I am so congested right now, and I do not want to blow my nose live on the air. I'm going to mute my mic. That's not fun, man. Not fun. So let's get into quickly NXT and let's get out of here. Three big matters that came out of yesterday's NXT. First of all, Solo Sikoa having to forfeit the NXT North American Championship. To be honest with you, I like the storyline that Wes Lee was voted last week to be the choice to take on Carmelo Hayes. As a result, Shawn Michaels says it's null and void. So Solo Sikoa gives up the championship. What they're going to do is at Halloween Havoc, in a little less than 6 weeks, they're going to have a ladder match to determine the new NXT North American champion. Now, we already had one upset with Oro Mensah beating Grayson Waller to advance into the ladder match. Pretty cool. You know, I'm fine with it. I will say they should have waited a week. I think we all wanted the bloodline to come out, all holding titles. I would have liked to have seen Solo Sikoa, the Usos and Roman Reigns all holding titles at the same time, and Sami Zayn just standing there, you know, in storyline like a goof with no championship. But Solo Sikoa is now without a championship. Now, another thing that happened yesterday was when they were hyping up Halloween Havoc, few people noticed a little bit of a change to the logo. WWE has tweaked the NXT logo, bringing back the colors black and gold. Now, if you watched NXT, you still had the multicolors in the background. They closed out the show with this. This wasn't just a split-second decision. And I watched a weird vibe on social media yesterday. Like, because they changed the color of the logo, black and gold is back. That just shows you the stupidity of people out there. It's still a developed fucking mental promotion. NXT is still developmental. They tweaked the logo, and that's fine, but what do you think is changing on TV? Oh, Ilya Dragunov is showing up. That's awesome, too. But what do you expect him to do when NXT Europe is not going to be coming back or really debuting with NXT UK pretty much done? Ilya is still recovering from the foot injury, but he is very close to returning to the ring. So, of course, you want to see him. Shit, we had moments of Walter. You know, think of NXT TakeOver 35. Walter was on there. We had others, you know. So we had NXT UK showing up before, but just because they changed the color of the logo doesn't mean that they're changing the concept. You know, if they change the concept, then we talk. But tweaking the color and people like, oh, black and gold is back. A color of a logo is what you're concerned about with NXT. That's ridiculous. I thought that was ridiculous. Now, match results. Nathan Frazier over Axiom to even up the best out of three series, 1-1. JC Jane and Gigi Dolin over Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley. The Dyad over Idris Anofi and Malik Blade. Cora Jade over Wendy Chu. Chase University with an upset win over Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Von Wagner over Sanga. Oral Mensah, as I said earlier, advances to the ladder match at Halloween Havoc, beating Grayson Waller. And JD McDonough beating Tyler Bate to become the number one contender for Braun Breaker's championship. And I loved it. I loved it when Braun Breaker came out to do the confrontation with JD McDonough, and then you heard Ilya's music hit, and JD is like, no, no. It's almost like a kid that's getting away with something and his parents show up. It was so funny the way it went down. But remember when we talked 2 weeks ago about a three-way match? Might end up being a four-way with Tyler Bate. That's not out of the question. So I don't know if having a four-way is good for Braun Breaker. Because you think of Dragunov, which I don't know if he's ready yet, but you think of Dragunov, you think of McDonough, and you think of Bate. Then you put Braun in there. You know, those styles all clash with Braun Breaker. So we'll see what happens. Now, on Friday with Rampage also, we have Diamante taking on Jade Cargill. And, you know, I thought this was funny again when she's got the baddest woman on the planet, Trina. That is one of the things that AEW totally, totally screws up. They try to play off that we should know every wrestler from New Japan that shows up in the ring. That's Aussie Open. That's blah, 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 blah. They played off like we're supposed to know on a regular basis who Trina is. Half of the IWC thought she was a wrestler. They're like, wait, Trina, where does she wrestle? They had no idea that she was a legendary rapper. But they're playing it off on TV like we're supposed to know this. But that they got to, excuse me, cut out. They do that way too often. Excalibur is the one that's usually guilty of that. That's Trina. That's Aussie Open. That's this. That's, you know. And they don't do with the wrestlers. They don't do any real packages to, like, hype up. You know, like, give us a little backstory on these people. Let us see. They do it right before pay-per-view, the weekend of or the day of. But they don't do it on a weekly basis because they don't have enough time. By the way, again, where is Miro? Did he Dima? All right. Guys, I'm going to jet out of here. I feel fucking awful. I'm going to go back, watch Dynamite again, and watch this little exchange with MJF and Wheeler Yuta. I will say this. I was a little surprised of the pop that Wheeler Yuta got when he hit MJF, because Yuta was going to talk about Moxley and Danielson, and that's when MJF came out. And I do have to say this, too, before we go. They got Kari Silken involved tonight a little bit. Jericho got a little physical with him. MJF got a little physical with Tony Schiavone. Please don't do that. Neither one of them looked good. They're not there to be selling any type of assaults. It just looked goofy. It really did. Jericho, in fact, I will say this. I don't think Kari Silken expected Jericho to do what he did. And I'm sure it's all fine. But MJF, you know, shoving down Tony Schiavone, it looked a little bit goofy. But, you know, Wheeler Yuta revealing that MJF recently got engaged, but, you know, cutting a little bit of that promo. I mean, was this just to set up Wheeler Yuta versus W. Morrissey? That's what it kind of felt like. But I'll tell you this much. I fucking love the idea of W. Morrissey being MJF's new bodyguard in place of Wardlow. In fact, I would love to see, because remember Monday? We talked about it Monday, that W. Morrissey looked so out of place last week, standing in the ring with Stokely Hathaway's group. You watch that segment again, W. Morrissey looks like he's not happy to be there. And a guy like that should be the centerpiece of what you're looking at in a segment, not on the sideline. And maybe they're going to do something where MJF gave Stokely Hathaway an offer he couldn't refuse, and W. Morrissey is now with MJF. And then that might lead to W. Morrissey versus Wardlow. I know what you're going to say. Yeah, well, it's not really all that fresh. But W. Morrissey looks good. Have we seen yet that he has signed with them? I don't know if we've seen W. Morrissey is all elite yet. I don't recall seeing that banner. I got to go check online. So maybe he's not, you know, officially under contract. I got to go seek that out. But guys, gals, I'm sorry for the abrupt show tonight. But as you could hear, I really was so close of not doing anything. But I was like, nah, this was a big night tonight, Dynamite. And even though I may sound awful and I feel awful and never in a million years did I ever think that I was going to get hit with the COVID, I'm just thankful that I did have the vaccination. So at least I know that my body is prepared to fight it a little bit. I just want to wake up tomorrow and feel a hell of a lot better. Now, don't forget the Q&A. Oop, that doesn't look good. That does. The Q&A that we originally were going to do tomorrow, we're doing next Thursday because I was away for a week. And that actually worked out very well because the last thing I feel like doing tomorrow is a mailbag. So if you have any questions that you want to send in for next Thursday's mailbag, you can either email me, dontony@dontony.com, or you can go to the community section on YouTube. There is a thread up there now, and you can post your question there. And we will do that for next Thursday. So, Charlie, post your question there. You know, if you have something you want to ask, that goes out for everyone. But I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go finish my Theraflu. I'm going to take some cold medicine and hopefully pass out tonight. And tomorrow's another day. But, yeah, be safe out there, everyone. I mean, this sucks, but, you know, shit happens. First time I ever got it. Hopefully it's the last time. I thought I was pretty careful. I didn't have any little kids right in my faces, but there were enough of them around with the coughs that we were like a little bit nervous. And sure enough, yeah, that's what happened. So, all right, everybody, leave your questions in the comment section. I will be home all day tomorrow, and I'm sure I will be awake. So I'll be a little bit bored. So post whatever you want. I will definitely respond. And I'll be back here Saturday morning at 11:05 a.m. for the Don Tony Show. Don't forget, Friday, 9:23 at 9:23. Is it going to be a reveal or is it going to be another teaser? Remember what I said Monday. Remember what I said yesterday on Patreon for those that tuned into it. And I know this show on Wednesdays, we talk NXT and AEW, but I will say this. You know, when I think about Bray Wyatt, Wyndham, returning to WWE, I think about Edge coming back after he was destroyed by the Judgment Day. Remember those vignettes? Remember all the Easter eggs showing Eddie Guerrero's shirt, showing the Hardys, showing Cactus's flannel, the fire, the blood, everything. Those vignettes leading up to Edge's return were amazing. Does anybody in their right mind think that Wyndham, who has been gone for years, that if he is going to return, that the best WWE could come up with is playing a 55-year-old a cappella version of a song by Jefferson Airplane at intermissions at WWE events and a Hangman puzzle featuring a white rabbit? Do you think that that is the best that WWE could do for fucking Wyndham? You would expect cinematic, crazy shit. Think about, and we were talking about this on Patreon yesterday, think about Xia Li and Boa, those vignettes in NXT when they were being tortured. Even the superhero stuff when she was coming to SmackDown. You look at what they've done with this white rabbit, and I have people trying to convince everyone out there, this is why it's Bray. This is why it's Bray. This is why it's Bray. How's about if it fucking turns out to be Bray, especially if it's a Friday reveal? What a horrible teaser. What a cheap teaser. You do that on an indie show. For WWE, you expect crazy production. That's why either it's not going to be Bray Wyatt or Friday will be a new teaser at 9:23 on 9:23. Keep that in the back of your mind when you're reading all this stuff. Look, it's fun. It's fun to guess and wonder and hope and fantasize. But you look at it like that, you understand why, you know, I think some people are a little too overboard with this. So, yeah, I'll be doing a show Sunday, Charlie. I mean, look, unless COVID puts me in the hospital, I hope to go on social media tomorrow and tell everyone, hey, I feel all better. So, you know, I'll be honest with you. I feel worse tonight than I have all week. So I don't know if it's breaking or if it's just making its appearance now. Because this morning I tested negative. Tonight I tested positive. Who knows? Be well, everyone. Sorry for the short show. Something tells me, some of you out there, I'm not complaining right now, but I will be back here on Saturday morning, 11.05 a.m. If you're around Friday night, you're more than welcome to join me for the SmackDown and Rampage watch parties. So they'll be going from 8 p.m. to midnight. So stop by for a few minutes if you're not doing anything. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.